Friday and welcome to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In today's show, we start off with a visit with Dr. Carl Wyant, who is talking about the importance of soil health testing. That feature report with Taylor Chalstrom. And Chalstrom will have a report from yesterday's Citrus Showcase. It's all coming up right after this word from our sponsor.
Soil and Crop Incorporated is your number one resource for sustainable nutrition. Growers are faced with difficult challenges, and Soil and Crop Inc. has the experience, fertilizer, and biological portfolio to dramatically increase yield and performance in your troubled orchards and fields. Contact Soil and Crop Incorporated today for a free consultation on how we can help reverse the challenges you face as a conventional or organic grower so you can increase your bottom line and become a better sustainable farmer. Contact us today at 559-564-1236 or visit our website at www.callnrg.com. Soil and Crop, putting nature to work for you.
Good soil biological health is important to the success of any field or orchard, as was detailed by Helier Ag's Dr. Carl Wyant on a recent episode. However, sometimes it can be hard to tell what biology you actually have present in the soil.
If you look at soil just from the around your boots, you might think it's sand and some brown stuff and maybe some nutrients, some fertilizer you put down last season. But if you look and you get small enough, there's a whole food web down there, bacteria and fungi. There's nematodes, good and bad nematodes. There's protozoa that eat the bacteria and so on and so forth. So there's this whole biology of the soil that is really just now beginning to be appreciated in agricultural production. And that's what we're talking about measuring, that living component of your farm ground.
So the question at hand is, when and where should a grower be testing for biologicals in their soils?
I like to do the win early spring to mid-spring. It's a good time to get started. It's not super, super hot yet out here in the West. And so you've got a lot of biology in the soil that's up and running. There's typically more moisture in the soil to keep those bacteria and fungi alive. And then the where, that's a really nice thing about soil health sampling. You want to go where the action is. So if you're thinking, oh, I've got to go dig a 3-foot hole in my ranch to find some bacteria, I'll just stop you there. You don't. Most of your biology is within the first 6 to 12 inches of the soil. So you can typically dig take a shallower sample and get a lot of information from it. So that's a good thing. You also want to be near where the water is and where the plant roots are. So typically in Western systems, around the emitters, around the micro sprinklers, or along the flood path if you're doing flood irrigation. So just a little couple of tips there. Just think of where would you want to live in a field, and usually it's by that water source, and that's a great way to think of where to sample for soil health.
One piece about soil health testing that's left a lot of growers scratching their heads, according to Dr. Wyant, is how many options there are available in terms of what you can see.
That's where calling your local lab becomes important and asking them, what soil health tests do you run and how do they work and what do the results mean? Because you have soil health tests that measure how much the bacteria and fungi are breathing in the soil and releasing CO2. That's one form of soil health testing. And then on a much more complicated end, you can actually extract the DNA from the soil and figure out what the microbial temperature looks like, what their function is, and then everything in between. So there's a huge range of tests. Way too long for us to talk about here in just a couple minute segment, but call your local lab, ask them about what is their soil health test package, and have them explain to you when to use it, how to use it, and what those results mean.
Another thing to consider is whether or not growers should be conducting the tests in the first place. Should they be conducted regardless of how well the crops are performing or when they're just doing bad?
Many growers have seen the typical soil health sampling for nutrients, pH, salinity. So these soil health samples are new to a lot of folks. So really, when we think about this next arena in testing, soil health is usually takes some education and some learning. And I think that's a great place this year in 2022 to jump into this, because the testing is becoming a lot more widely available. Like I said, call your local lab and see what they have to offer. And it's becoming a lot more cost effective than it used to be. So it's way more accessible. And I always like to tell growers when they ask me about what should I be sampling? And I always tell them to go sample that field. And I use air quotes for the listener. That field means it's the field that's always overperforming. It may be the field that underperforms. It could be the field that just, you know, keeps you up at night wondering about, you know, why is it that field relative to your other one? And the soil health could be a good way to go take another look at why that field performs the way it does and help give you some new information and a new look at it.
Soil fumigation is a critical step to ensure that your orchard gets off to a good start. Trichlor is a pre-plant soil fumigant and is the foundation for a successful pest management system. Targeted pathogens include soil-borne disease and nematodes. Fumigation helps to create a healthy soil environment that allows the plant's root system to flourish. For more information about Trichlor or to schedule an application, contact Trical Incorporated at 669-327-5076 or visit www.trical.com.
Citrus grower Lisa Tate farms lemons, oranges, and mandarins on a family co-op in the valley. Now a full-time manager on her operation, Tate expressed her appreciation for the industry at yesterday's California Citrus Mutual Citrus Showcase in Visalia.
I was really scared coming back into it, especially being such a male-dominated field. But I have to say the men have always been so welcoming, and just I think they're so happy to just have people coming into the industry and working in it, you know. But yeah, it's been great. I love the flexibility of the job as a mom. It's really nice when, oh, my kid has the sniffles and it's COVID and they can't go to school now for a week, you know. Okay, you're coming to work with me, you know. That's priceless, you know. I mean, there's so many benefits to it. And then just there's something really, I think, just like innately human about being outside and working the ground. Like, it feels good. It just feels right. It's like where we're supposed to be. So I love that. And I love citrus because it's like for us, I mean, it's fairly steady. I mean, our other crops like avocados, you never know what you're going to get. Coffee, you never know what you're going to get. Like lemons, you know you're going to have a lot of lemons. Now, whether you make a lot of money off of them or what, that's sometimes out of your control. But like, you know that that tree is just going to produce and produce and produce. And it's kind of like, as risky as farming is, it's one of the ways to kind of just have something a little more stable.
Another citrus grower, John Gless with Gless Ranch, was present at the showcase and was transparent about some of the associated risks with farming citrus and just farming in general. Labor and water for him were top of mind.
There's been a lot of significant changes in the industry, one major one being labor availability, overtime restrictions, stuff like that, and also water. Water's a huge, huge problem. So that's been a big game changer for everyone. You know, we'd all like to see more rainfall, but we're going to have to figure out a way to divert some more water from Sacramento down here to keep us going. Otherwise, I think we're all going to be in trouble.
Even with the looming danger of pests like huanglongbing and citrus psyllid, Gless is still optimistic for the future of the citrus industry.
You know, we're putting a lot of money into research. We're putting a lot of money as an industry into fighting this thing. And yeah, I see it being positive. If we can get some water figured out, I see a future.
Nobody's more invested in the weather and the land than a farmer, because it's how we survive. It's how we provide for our families. And so we need the environment to stay in a way where we can continue to grow. And we have to take care of that. And we can't do that ourselves. That has to be, you know, a huge worldwide community endeavor.
Both Gless and Tate attended the Citrus Showcase this week to get more educated on these types of issues and to network with other growers.
We like to interact with growers. We have a booth set up for the nursery, but it's always good to network with packing houses, with other citrus growers. You always get a tremendous turnout here with pretty much everybody in the industry. So it's always a great turnout and a great thing for us to attend.
I'm really like forward thinking. So I want to know what's the next thing, what's coming out, how can we benefit, how can we farm smarter? How can we do it better? How can we do it more environmentally conscious? Just in every way, how can we do it better? And so, you know, you have to come to trade shows to get that information, to see what's out there, to see what's available, to mix, to meet people, you know. And also, I think I love having conversations with vendors because you can actually tell them, well, this would be great, but it needs this little tweaking, or I could really use that, but the price is just outside of the realm of realistic. Can, you know, what can you do to make that? So like I get to play a part in actually helping to maybe move something in a direction that would be helpful.
Coming up next on the My Ag Life Daily News Report, regional and agricultural news headlines. I'm Lori Boyer.
Being a member of the California walnut industry means working together to advance the industry through advocacy, research programs, and promoting walnuts with smart, cost-effective marketing. Learn more at walnuts.org.
In regional agricultural news, the Arizona-California desert region continues to experience inconsistent weather. And due to the last several weeks of volatile weather, Marcon inspectors are currently seeing heat and freeze-related quality challenges simultaneously in desert lettuce crops. Many of the following issues will persist through the end of the desert season: epidermal blistering and epidermal peeling, growth cracks, increased insect pressure, mildew pressure, rib blight, and shortened shelf life. Market inspectors will be monitoring for quality and will continue to update as needed. In a story posted at producebluebook.com, when it comes to fresh produce markets and the Ukraine, Thomas Friedman, author of the book The World is Flat, wrote, and then around 2000 came Globalization 3.0, in which the world went from being small to tiny. Supply chains cannot tolerate even 24 hours of disruption. So if you lose your place in a supply chain because of wild behavior, you could lose a lot. In other words, global trade in the 21st century is not without risk. To some small degree, every person will feel the effects of the war in Ukraine. Undoubtedly, the people of Ukraine are paying the highest price for this invasion. The loss of life and freedom is immeasurable and cannot be belittled by comparatively trivial economic realities. Still, the adverse economic effects of this war are inescapable, and it is vital for global economic health to traverse them the best that we can. Russia is the third largest oil producer globally and supplies 40% of Europe's natural gas. Sanctions have not targeted Russia's gas and oil sector for economic reasons. Still, uncertainty breeds volatility, and sanctions are likely to accelerate. The decision to remove select Russian banks from the financial network for sending financial wires will increase the collateral damage of sanctions. Crude oil prices have been soaring over 100 barrels a day for the first time since 2014. Fuel prices drive agricultural input costs, fertilizer, and delivered freight. As a result, energy inflation is expected to worsen. Ukraine is also a country rich in tech professionals, with more than 200,000 software developers. Many technology companies throughout the world rely on the people of Ukraine. The development of a controversial vineyard in the eastern hills of Napa County has been stalled once again as opponents have raised questions about the financial ties to a neighboring property by one of the supervisors who approved the project. Critics have alleged that Napa County Supervisor Alfredo Pedroza had financial ties to a property near Walt Ranch, where vendors Craig and Catherine Hall seek to develop the 209-acre vineyard on their 2,300-acre ranch. They say Pedroza should have recused himself from voting on the project. Pedroza's father-in-law, Esteban Lamas, a vineyard manager at Pritchard Hill, which now belongs to E&J Gallo, is listed as a manager of six parcels off Soda Canyon Road under the name Viñedos AP LLC. One issue is that the land is next to Walt Ranch. In May of 2021, Viñedos AP acquired the six parcels for $2 million from Circle R Ranch LLC, according to county documents community members presented last month to the Board of Supervisors. The address listed on Viñedos' deed and other documents is Pedroza's residence in Napa, raising questions about Pedroza's financial interest in Viñedos AP and his obligation to remove himself from discussions and decisions affecting Walt Ranch. Protesters are arguing before the Napa County Board of Supervisors that Pedroza should resign and urge the supervisors to order an independent investigation into his alleged financial ties to Viñedos AP. Others defended Pedroza, praising his work ethic and his efforts to help constituents over the years. They said they were dismayed by the attacks against him and his family on social media, blogs, and websites. Over the past few days, posters against Pedroza have appeared in Napa. Protesters picketed the Napa County Administration Building recently, where the supervisors were meeting. The National Milk Producers Federation and the U.S. Dairy Export Council are commending President Joe Biden for outlining a new initiative to assign Department of Justice attorneys and litigators to the Federal Maritime Commission to jointly improve enforcement of the Shipping Act. The initiative also directs the DOJ to pursue further actions to increase competition in the ocean shipping industry. The dairy associations are strongly endorsing these efforts as a means of promoting increased competition and better services for American dairy exporters from the ocean freight transportation system. Disruptions in the export supply chain have cost U.S. dairy shippers over $1.5 billion in 2021 due to reduced value, higher direct costs, and lost export sales. The White House also called on Congress to address the present antitrust immunity for the predominantly foreign-owned ocean shipping alliances. On Monday evening, the House moved quickly to advance reforms in this area by introducing the Ocean Shipping Antitrust Enforcement Act, which would repeal certain antitrust exemptions for ocean common carriers. Among those introducing this bill was Representative Jim Costa of California. A new study by researchers at Oregon State University is working on ways to turn the waste from apples and other fruits into environmentally friendly packaging materials to replace plastic. Professor Yanyan Zhou says by using the fruit waste from processing, this would be another great option or solution.
Because we are facing this plastic packaging crisis, because we know the potential harm for the environmental and the ecosystems with those plastic or other type of packaging. So that's what I mentioned in my lab, really trying to find a solution.
Add to that, she says fruit waste offers a couple of great benefits.
When you're using byproducts to develop this compostable packaging, it helps solve two problems. One is develop a more environmental sustainable packaging to improve sustainability. Another thing is converting, we call repurposing, byproducts to develop a compostable packaging.
The food waste, she says, can help to replace another recyclable product.
When you look at the molded pulp packaging, are mostly made of recycled newspapers. And with the electrical technology, the amount of recycled newspaper or the supply of recycled newspaper has been declined.
Right now, Zhao says the focus is on apple pumice because it is so readily available in the Pacific Northwest.
This concept can also use in other fibers, not necessarily just the pumice. You think about like a wine grape pumice or even like hemp fibers. There are so many other potential fibers may be utilized.
The research is supported by the Oregon Department of Agriculture Specialty Crop Block Grant Program.
Growth Energy CEO Emily Skor says the uncertainty of the situation in Ukraine underscores the need for more homegrown biofuels to reduce U.S. dependence on foreign oil and improve energy security. In an open letter ahead of President Biden's State of the Union address this week, she highlighted the potential of biofuels to help lessen the impact of high oil and gas prices. This week, oil prices spiked to more than $100 a barrel, and gas prices are also increasing. In the letter, Skor says increasing access to higher blends of ethanol through E15 year-round can help keep prices down at the pump. Growth Energy says moving E15 nationwide would generate $12.2 billion in savings for U.S. consumers at the pump each year and bolster the domestic market supply, driving prices downward. Skor says homegrown and low-carbon solutions like biofuels can shield American drivers from the continued volatility in the OPEC-controlled global oil market. President Joe Biden and Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack are announcing that the U.S. Department of Agriculture is investing more than $166.5 million in 108 infrastructure projects as part of implementing the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, also known as the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service is working with local communities in 23 states to invest in new dam and flood prevention projects and in repairs on existing watershed infrastructure, which are all part of USDA's broader national infrastructure investment. Through this first round of projects, the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law is funding NRCS prioritized projects in communities heavily impacted by drought and other natural resources, as well as historically underserved and limited resource communities.
Though this first round of projects, the bipartisan infrastructure law's funding, NRCS has prioritized projects in communities heavily impacted by drought and other natural disasters, as well as historically underserved and limited resource communities. The Biden-Harris administration is committed to building back better, and this starts with infrastructure, according to Vilsack. He says protecting watersheds and saving lives is paramount. These investments in watershed programs will provide much-needed support for communities to build resilience in the face of climate change. He says they can extend the financial assistance to underserved communities that live in constant fear of flooding, help with the effects of severe weather events, and put systems in place that will ensure a climate-resilient future to help communities thrive in the years to come. The Biden administration has released its 2022 trade policy agenda and 2021 annual report. In 2022, the U.S. Trade Representative's office will continue to implement Biden's trade priorities as the United States recovers from the COVID-19 pandemic. That work includes soon releasing additional details on the Indo-Pacific Economic Framework. Key elements in 2022 include supporting workers' rights, accelerating decarbonization, and supporting U.S. agriculture. The Biden administration is also focused on creating new opportunities for agriculture, including using existing free trade agreements and trade and investment framework agreements. Additionally, the strategy includes bolstering supply chains and realigning the U.S.-China trade relationship. The report also highlights accomplishments from 2021, including work to promote sustainable environmental practices and trade policy, enforce existing agreements, and improve the resilience of global supply chains. It also details how USTR and the Biden administration have realigned the United States-China bilateral trade relationship to defend the rights of American workers, farmers, producers, and businesses. Witnesses testifying before the House Agriculture Committee recently said although commodity prices are much higher for many farmers, so are input costs, and a 2023 farm bill should better reflect those realities. With the effects of the ongoing war in the Ukraine yet to be fully realized by U.S. farmers, the committee began work on the next farm bill with a hearing that included 9 witnesses representing major commodity groups. The rising cost of crop inputs, in particular fertilizer, was at the top of the list of concerns that many groups presented to the committee. Witnesses outlined just how large the rise in fertilizer prices looms on agriculture's horizon and how farm programs will need to reflect that reality. The American Farm Bureau Federation is promoting safety on the farm through Agricultural Safety Awareness Program Week, which is today through the 11th. Farm broadcaster Michael Clements shares more on how to promote safety in your community.
Carrie Walker, American Farm Bureau Federation Director of Member Engagement, says it's all about promoting safety on the farm.
AFBF partners with the U.S. Agricultural Safety and Health Centers to promote this week each year, which really focuses on keeping your family, friends, and employees safe on the farm. The goal of ASAP Week is really to reduce the number of farm work-related injuries and deaths by increasing safety and health awareness and promoting safety practices.
Walker says the week is an open dialogue to improve farm safety.
We really take this week to focus on ways to improve farm practices so that we reduce the number of accidents and just create a network to have open communication between Farm Bureau safety and health professionals and volunteers that share resources.
Resources to get involved are available online.
ASAP Week has a theme every year as well as a daily theme. So this year, the theme is Prepare, Prevent, Protect. You'll see each daily theme reflect that overall theme. And we create a promotional toolkit to support safety and health in agricultural and rural communities. It's almost like an easy button for social media. And those resources are available for free online at fb.org.
Follow the hashtag ASAP22 online to learn more. Michael Clements, Washington.
Several rural farm subjects are mentioned in the State of the Union address by President Joe Biden, USA Farm News reporter Gary Crawford.
The State of the Union is strong because you, the American people, are strong.
That's how President Biden ended his first State of the Union address. And during the 1-hour, 5-minute speech, the president touched on issues from tax policy to the Russian invasion of Ukraine and also talked about the bipartisan infrastructure law, which he said would help farmers and other rural residents because with money from that bill,
we're going to provide affordable, high-speed internet for every American, rural and tribal communities. 4,000 projects have already been announced.
The president said this year work begins also on fixing 65,000 miles of highways, many of those in rural areas. Also, the president brought up the need for more competition in the economy. So,
you play with them or you don't get to play at all.
The president said the result is livestock producers get low prices, consumers pay higher prices. Or as the president put it,
capitalism without competition is exploitation.
This is Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai said it's important to figure out how to respond to the events unfolding in the Ukraine appropriately.
Dr. Igelsek, this is an area where I know that we are going to have to work very closely to assess where the impacts are going to be, especially when it comes to agricultural trade. We know Ukraine is an agricultural powerhouse, and to think through again how our trade policies take into account the foreign policy needs, but also our domestic economic needs to ensure that we can be the kind of trading partner that our allies need us to be and how we take care of our own.
USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack confirmed her statement that Ukraine is an agricultural powerhouse.
It's the fourth largest exporter of agricultural products in the world, so obviously there are some serious issues. And it exports, interestingly, in a lot of different areas. It exports quite a bit to China. It exports quite a bit to the Middle East and North Africa, and also to Europe as well. And so it does and will have an impact. So it is something we're going to keep an eye on.
There is little information developed yet regarding what those long-term impacts might be. Delegates to the National Farmers Union 120th Anniversary Convention re-elected Rob LaRue as president and elected Jeff Kipley as vice president. Their two-year term just begun and will conclude at NFU's 122nd Anniversary Convention in 2024.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcast, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.